As the MLB trade deadline approaches, both sides of town have some decisions to make. So, who should stay and who should go?
Should I stay or should I go now?
With Bruce Levine and Ryan McGuffey on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.
And the 2-2. And a line drive hit to deep left center field. This may go. It's gone! Three-run home run the other way for Cody Bellinger. And the Cubs are right back in the ballgame. 7-6 Dodgers here in the fifth.
Well, big decision ahead for Cody Bellinger. It's going to impact the entire Cubs offseason plan. That was one of his 18 home runs this year. Just a 751 OPS. He played through a ton of injuries, Bruce, and sometimes at the trade deadline, it's stay or go. Sometimes in the offseason, it's stay or go. And Cody Bellinger's got a big decision after 5 days after the World Series.
Actually, he can declare the day after now to be a free agent. And I got to, talk to Bellinger the last day of the season, like I did in 2023. I said to him, after all the media left, and I was a part of the scrum in 2023 up in Milwaukee when the season ended, I said, I have one more important question for you. I said, how much does your family and most importantly, your wife have to do with the decision of whether you're wanting to come back to Chicago or not? And he said, yeah, everything. He said, people are naive to think that these aren't family decisions. Even though I play here, my family is here. That's number one. So, I asked him some questions, and I started off with talking to Bellinger about the injuries for the second year in a row and how it impacted his season.
Couldn't really control one of the injuries. Got hit by a pitch. The other one ran into a brick wall. That one I could have probably avoided. Had a little dry spell there in the middle of the summer and was just trying to get healthy. And, it was overall pretty good.
Yeah.
Played 130 games, actually played 130 games in 2023 as well. I mean, that's a guy, look, hit by a pitch and runs into a brick wall. And he, I'm saying this like to show you he was a little bit of a warrior. I mean, he only missed 32 games. I mean, for any one of a White Sox trio of Moncada, Aloy, or Luis Robert to play 130 games, then that would have been, a reward.
He played with a broken finger for a month, okay?
Yeah.
So he wouldn't use that as an excuse. But I did ask him, Wrigley played so big this year. Did that impact your overall numbers?
What makes Wrigley so, unique and beautiful at the same time is the elements that come into play, with the IV and the very little foul territory and the wind and the sun. And there's no other ballpark like it. But when you play here, you're going to get to understand the elements. And, I think in some days this year or a lot of days this year, it was tough.
I mean, we've made a lot. You and I have kind of poo-pooed the Wrigley thing a little bit, Bruce, but I mean, those are facts. Cody had just a 700 OPS at Wrigley Field this year, 247, 301, 399, and 8 home runs. I mean, that's a below replacement player. I mean, he was a 94 OPS plus at home.
Right. Yeah, most of the Cub players' numbers were down at home. And again, okay, ballpark played big. It plays the same way for the opponent.
If it's raining, I get a kick out of that because the weather's the weather.
So he has a contract for the next 2 years. He makes $30 million next year. He'll make $20 million in 2026. He has opt-out options for both. So I asked him, has this been on your mind throughout the season?
I'm definitely going to sit down with the wife when we get some downtime. I haven't really had the time to even think about it, just because, it's in the back of your head, right? But at the same time, there's no, legitimate thought about what you're going to do because you have to wake up and compete. And my only goal and my only focus is getting on the field and playing. And so, for me, that takes up, so much of my time and my thoughts that, I haven't really thought about what I'm actually going to do yet.
That makes sense when you talk to him. I mean, you talked about a family decision. I know as fans, people just program players as robots. And when they go 0-for-4 or they're in a 1-for-15, yeah, what the hell are you doing? Why aren't you performing? But these people are human beings. And when they go home, they have the same, you know, they have families, they have kids, they have wives, they have parents, and they're trying to take care of everything. And I get that part. And you and I are around these guys. So we get that part. And it's not something that people want to hear, that you're bringing in the family to have a big decision, but that's fact.
So here's the difference. This next soundbite, Ryan, is the difference in how you and I think about our jobs or jobs that we hope we're going to have in the future or continue to keep, and how athletes have to think about their job. I talked to Bellinger and I said, $30 million is a lot of money. Would you consider being a free agent and testing the market again?
We have such a unique opportunity to provide for our families while we play a game. And it's truly a special thing. And I try not to ever take that for granted, even though this game is super hard sometimes and you get extremely frustrated and let down. But I also don't ever forget that, you know, I'm playing the game I love, and I'm doing it at the highest level with a bunch of, you know, tremendous athletes. So, I have an opportunity to take care of my family and my kids and my grandkids and their kids. And it's a special opportunity for me. And, I don't ever take that for granted.
Zero problem with that. None. And people might not want to hear it that he's chasing the highest dollar, biggest contract.
It's $50 million generational money.
For me, it would be.
Well, yeah, me too.
But I mean, if you can.
I could take care of my neighbor's family.
Yeah, I don't know if I would want to take care of my neighbor's family. Well, depends on which neighbor we're talking about. But,
well,
you know.
Right or left, yeah.
I'll leave that up for interpretation for those that might be listening.
The reality of the situation is generational wealth for an athlete is Bellinger plays till he's 36, 37. He has no other trade, so whatever money he made will last for the lifetime, him, his family. And fine, it's a lot of money, but, you know, he's put his heart and soul into his trade since he was 12 years old to be a Major League Baseball player. They deserve it because the money is there, and people will pay it. Okay, so I don't have any problem with that. The problem Cub fans might have would be saying, isn't $30 million enough next year? Isn't $20 million enough after that? Okay,
look who's asking the question.
I think everybody would say, you're being paid $30 million, okay? You didn't have the same year you had the year before. Isn't that enough for you to want to stay? And by the way, don't you love playing for the Chicago Cubs at Wrigley Field? So those things are part of the ideas about what I think and what maybe some fans think as well.
For those of you asking about where Bruce is getting the $30 million, I'm going to address that because it's 27 and a half next year with a $2.5 million buyout. Okay, so that's where the $30 million comes from. You have to include buyouts in these situations. And look, it's a three-year, $80 million pact if he opts in for both years. And Bruce, if there's a team out there willing to double down and give him another three,
well, he already
for
made 30.
Yeah. Okay. So it's
that's
50. Right. So
50 for 2 years.
But I'm saying if there's another team out there that wants to sign Cody Bellinger and give him another, say we're going to give you 3 for $80. Well, that's better than what the Cubs have.
It's a huge gamble from this perspective. He's one of the top players, regardless of his numbers. Okay, but, and it's a huge but. And we've seen huge butts before.
What?
That's for you. You're supposed to hit it home or not. The idea is here is with the market and the RSNs, the regional sports networks, again, 11 teams declaring they're being declared by Bally, they're not responsible for them any longer. With money from 40 to 80 million, maybe 100 million on some teams coming off the books, no guarantee of that money being there. Will his free agency resonate after Soto signs? If he declares free agency, is he going to be waiting around again until February like he did to sign a shorter deal with the Cubs? Or will he not get $30 million a year out there? Or think with me for a second, Ryan. Would a four-year deal for $100 million be more with what they're looking for? In other words, you double your money, you add 2 years to it, you do have quote-unquote generational wealth, okay, and you can do that. Or does Boris First and his agent, Scott Boras, who we'll get to next, does he say, you know what, we can negotiate with the Cubs until November? Are they Are they sitting down with the Cubs right now and saying, we'd like you to extend Cody 2 years and we'll take a little bit of discount for a little bit more length?
I think that you would think the Cubs would have first right of refusal here. I mean, Cody has not been a bad teammate, bad player. He certainly seems to have liked his time here in Chicago. And I think that that's more than fair to go to the team that has the contract and say, look, this is the market value. This is what we're seeking. And if you don't like this or if it's too rich for your blood, we're going to opt out and take him to the market.
Right.
I mean, that's the game. This is baseball negotiations 101.
So the metrics people told the Cubs before they signed him to a free agent deal last year is, yes, he had 24 home runs. Yes, he had more RBIs than any player in baseball from July through September in 2023. Yes, he was a dominant player, but there was an awful lot of soft contact. Okay. This year, 100 points less on the OPS, right? So, okay, that proved out. Is he still a $30 million player or a $25 million player to the Chicago Cubs? He's a really good player. He's a really good teammate. He plays three outfield positions as good or better than most. He is a gold glove first baseman if you want to move him there. He runs the base as well. He's kind to dogs and all animals. So with that in mind, what is that worth to you? How much blue sky is in there for Ryan McGuffey when you're looking at the totality of the player?
Well, what I would say is, why don't you protect your investment? You didn't do a great job of putting pieces around him to, if and when he's struggling, that other guys are picking him up, or maybe he's getting better pitches to hit because the guys in front of him or behind him are better than what you currently have, and that he is running into a brick wall or getting hit by a pitch and feeling like he needs to come back to provide a lift or a boost from this team rather than sit for an extra week to let things heal. So my counter to you would be, if you're going to invest in that one player, why not invest in him more by investing in the entire team, which then it protects the investment you made in Cody Bellinger?
It's a great point. 312-644-6767. You want to chime in on this? White Sox Talk at the bottom of the hour with Jerry Hairston. We will tell you and talk about the possible next manager of the Chicago White Sox.
Is it you? Are you available?
Not available.
Okay, good.
Tony La Russa, the job's probably not for me at this point. Robbie, we're going to skip the next bite and go to our last bite. And Bellinger talks about wanting to be here, the potential of the team, and what he thinks of Craig Counsell.
You know, you can see the potential in this room. You can see, I think the knowledge is there of what needs to be done. And, you know, Counts is a big part of that. He's very knowledgeable about the game. He's very knowledgeable about the pieces that he needs or the pieces that, you know, what's going to hopefully eventually take this team to the next level. He's very intelligent about that. And not only that, man, he's a great leader, and he's a great guy to have in your corner, and he's easy to talk to. And, you know, he pushes you to the next level.
All right, so that sounds like a guy who likes the idea of Craig Counsell as his manager. And there's so much talk of this, and the Cubs made five coaching changes, which Jed Hoyer basically gave. That's why you bring in Craig Counsell, to allow him to have this involvement and build his staff. There's so much talk about all of the things that Counsell brings and is going to flush out into the offseason that there better be some kind of major improvement. But I think a big factor is whether or not Cody Bellinger is a part of it.
Well, it is. You know, you want to project him and his abilities. I think he's projectable. That's important, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody in the lineup is projectable, okay? Again, a lot of good players, but not projectable to help you in the middle of the batting order, which they sorely missed this year. Same thing with Swanson. You know, the expectations of Swanson, because he's making $25 million a year, hitting 25 and driving in 100, having an OPS in the 800s, you know, it's not realistic to count on. You cannot do that. So I think, and most people I talk to about this think I'm wrong, I think he's opting out. And does that mean he won't be with the Cubs? No, not necessarily. But again, Hoyer is a smart enough guy to do exactly what you were talking about, Ryan. You know, talking to them now, trying to get an extension, to be able to sit on that as part of your offseason, a good spot to be in before he goes to the general manager's meetings in November, the winter meetings in December, gets this team ready with new blood and good players for 2025.
Yeah, and we've talked about whether the Cubs, what are they doing? Are they threading the needle, trying to be a top prospect organization, or are they trying to win World Series and be 91 teams? And I think what we both have agreed on is that they're trying to do both, but we don't know if you can do both. I wanted to bring up this quote that I saw this week because I think it plays into free agency and whether or not the Cubs want to sign Cody Bellinger and add more pieces to it, not just Cody Bellinger. As many of his peers prioritize profit over the postseason, Phillies owner John Middleton just keeps spending on payroll, on equipment, on anything the players ask for. Quote, my great-great-grandchildren might be angry at me, but I'm not going to know them. That's from Stephanie Epstein in Philadelphia. That's phenomenal. That's an owner who's saying, yes, Cody Bellinger, yes, Anthony Santander, yes to better players to make this team what I want it to be, which is a 90-win team to get into the postseason to have a chance.
Well, he's saying he wants to win the World Series.
Amen.
Okay.
Okay, so he's one of, what, four?
So when the Ricketts family bought the Cubs, that's the first thing they said.
Yep.
We're going to win multiple World Series here. We're going to build the best organization. He rebuilt Wrigley Field to the tune of spending over $1 billion. He bought a neighborhood up with LLCs that they started. He's done everything he can to make it a championship caliber organization. The charge after Epstein left and won a World Series for Jed was build me a farm system so we don't have to spend $300 million every year, so we can tap into the farm system for your needs on the team as well as trading, okay, which is what Epstein did with the players that they had. And now they're kind of caught in between a very good-sized payroll, about $240 million, and then stepping it up to $300 or more for those next two stars. Are you going to pay for those guys? Are you going to pay the luxury tax? Or are you still waiting on the farm system to supply you the players you need to either play on the field for the Cubs or bring back other players? I think, you know, eventually you have to do all three to win.
Yep.
But again, I don't want to tell Mr. Ricketts how to spend his money. I'm just laying out the reality of the situation that they're in right now.
We know that you can't lead Major League Baseball in payroll and win the World Series. There's no guarantee that that happens.
No.
The Cubs are seventh in payroll this year. The six above them all went to the postseason.
The Yankees have always been in the top three.
Yes.
Okay. They haven't won a World Series since 2009.
Yeah. They have as many World Series titles since 2005 as the White Sox.
They haven't been to the World Series since 2009. So spending money is not the answer, but it is also a part of the equation of being a playoff team every year, a contender every year, having star players for fans to fall in love with every year.
Well, you better have Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant and Addison Russell and Kyle Schwarber in your pipeline and then be able to add John Lester's and Dexter Fowler and Ben Zobrist and Jason Hayward.
They did that. They've been there. Did that. I think.
Yeah, you know what though? The longer we talk about it, the farther away 2016 is.
But I think they'll do it again. The question is, when would that be the right time? When can you get a Juan Soto to say yes?
You offer him the most money,
right? Well, again, you might offer him what you do consider the most money. The White Sox offered Zach Wheeler more money than the Phillies offered him.
Seven more million.
Right.
Right.
And he turned it down.
He made the right call.
Right.
He made the right call.
Right. And his wife made the right call.
Yeah.
Because
and that goes into what Cody Bellinger. That's a great point because
right.
This is not about chasing every last dollar sometimes. If the wife wants to stay on the East Coast and it's only $7 million, it's not that big of a deal.
As Rick Hahn said to me in baseball, there's a saying, wives are undefeated.
They always are.
Okay. So you better pay attention to what your family wants to do. But again, it's not an easy equation. It's easy for me or you to say, Mr. Ricketts spent $60 million more. Predicting the end result is quite different than that. Okay. Texas Rangers spent all that money and they barely got in last year.
But they won.
Right. But they barely got into the playoffs. They had to wait to the last day to get in. Okay.
No one remembers it, though. They remember.
No, I think someone remembers it because we're talking about it right now.
But who won? Who hoisted the trophy?
I understand that, but where are they sitting right now?
Well, they're at home.
I know.
But let me ask you a question. Would you rather have one World Series and then follow it up with a losing season or have an 89-win season and an 83-win season? Or two
I wouldn't want either. I'd want a contending team every year, like the Yankees, like the Dodgers. Okay.
So you're like the
Atlanta Braves.
So you're saying you have to spend money,
no,
though.
No, the Atlanta Braves don't spend the most money.
They spend the sixth most money.
Okay, six is fine. The Cubs are not afraid to spend money. What they're waiting for is the development of the players. This year they developed first, center, catcher, starting pitchers. Okay. You know, Jed Hoyer, for whatever flaws you think he has, signed, outside of Ohtani, the top free agent in Major League Baseball with the best results and the best war if you're going in that direction.
And what's interesting is if you take a deep dive of the free agent list, you know, Cody Bellinger is going to be one of the best players available,
which is why he's
opting out.
After Soto, tell me the impactful left-handed hitters that are going to be on that
just
list.
How about impactful hitters? I mean,
okay.
It's Soto, Bellinger, Santander, who's older, you know, and then you got a lot of guys that are like, you know, veteran question marks, Conforto, Alex Verdugo. You know, then you have Teoscar Hernandez, et cetera, et cetera.
Here's another question to ponder before we go to break. Do you take your inventory of young players and trade for Guerrero or for Bo Bichette?
Yes.
With Toronto, okay?
Yes.
Do you put your money that way, okay? Do you put your resources that way? Those resources are out there to help you or help you bring in two guys now that are free agents after 1 year.
Yeah.
So it's got to be a sign and trade. If you're getting Bichette, if you're getting Guerrero, you're giving up a lot of inventory. You have to sign them, then make the trade.
Totally agree with you, and I think that's why you pay attention in the playoffs to the teams getting knocked out early, like Baltimore, who's now going to figure out we've won 200 games in 2 years and it's gotten nothing out of it. So there are teams that are top heavy with offense, etc. And we're going to talk about that and a whole bunch more. We have to preview the Dodgers and Padres. And do the White Sox have a manager in waiting? Former Cub, Dodgers analyst Jerry Harrison joins us at the bottom of the hour. This is Inside the Clubhouse. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Ryan McGuffey. This is 670, The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670, The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
Ryan McGuffey and Bruce Levine with you on Inside the Clubhouse. And I think the best playoff series may be of the entire postseason. Yes, who knows what's going to happen, but I think the Dodgers and Padres, Bruce, is going to be absolute fire. I think it could easily go five games, and we got a member of Chicago's baseball royalty on the hotline. The Score hotline is presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. His grandfather, Sam, first African-American White Sox player in history. His dad, Jerry, played on the 83 White Sox. He played on the Cubs. His brother played on the Cubs. Let's welcome in Jerry Hairston Jr. from Spectrum Sportsnet in L.A. He's all over the Dodgers. Every person in Chicago, every fan in Chicago, Jerry, I think, would love to have that 1-3 that the Dodgers trot out there every single day. We welcome you to Inside the Clubhouse, and thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, you know, I've been extremely fortunate to see our top of the lineup. It's been special. Hopefully they continue to be special on through the playoffs and get us 11 wins.
What's the health question mark on Freddie Freeman right now? What's his availability?
Freddie's ready to go. He tested out the ankle yesterday. He did some running. He did some side-to-side work, the stopping and go, running the bases. He said he's good to go, thumbs up. And, you know, just looking at him, he looks pretty good. You know, and that's just during practice. Once the game hits, adrenaline will get in your body and be ready to go, especially with the roar of 50,000 fans at Dodger Stadium. So Freddie feels no qualms of the injury. He knows he's, you know, what he means to this lineup. And I expect him to have a great series.
So, Jerry, you know in Chicago we don't pull any punches. So we're going to start with, is this the Dave Roberts series? In other words, if the Dodgers do not win this series, what is the Dave Roberts situation, the commitment to the Dodgers, to a guy that's been one of the most successful guys in the last 20 years as a manager, a guy that's beloved, terrific at what he does, but what is the tolerance level if he doesn't have his team win?
Well, I think, you know, looking at this season, I think this has been manager Dave Roberts' best year as far as being the leader in that clubhouse. We've had so many injuries to our guys throughout the season. We lost Tyler Glasnow for the year. Gavin Stone, a young kid, rookie this year, had a tremendous year. We're not going to be able to have him. So, you know, that's just a tough question. I know that is – You kind of prefaced it with asking that before you asked that question. But listen, Dave knows the nature of this job. He knows being a manager of the Dodgers, what that entails. This team is built to win. Now, like I mentioned, the injuries, you know, that is not an excuse. He knows that. The players know that. We have enough to win right now. You know, we're running out Yamamoto. He's now healthy, who is an absolute stud. Jack Flaherty will go for us in game two, Walker Buehler game three. So we have three legit starters. Hopefully they pitch well. On the flip side, on the offense, hopefully we swing the bats. I don't like putting it on the manager, you know, especially as a former player. It's our job to perform. We got to go out there and get the hits. We got to go out there and make the plays defensively. On the mound, we got to go out there and pitch and execute. So I think, you know, manager Dave Roberts did a tremendous job this season, and he's going to put the players in position to succeed. It's up to the players to go out there and execute, and the players understand that. You know, there's a fire in that clubhouse, building, knowing what has happened the last couple of years in the postseason. These guys are fired up, and they go out and they expect to go out there and perform at a high level.
I think I'm going to go out and declare myself the least surprised person in Chicago by Michael Kopech's success in the Dodgers bullpen. He was misused here. He was
maybe
miscasted.
Second most.
You think you were number one? I knew that Michael Kopech, the second he got traded, and I knew he was going to go to somebody like you guys or the Yankees or something like that, just needed a change of scenery and go to a place that knew how to use him. Here he came into, even this season, he had trained as a starter all offseason. He comes in here, he's in the bullpen. A couple of years ago, he was in the bullpen. They made him a starter. How important, like in the second half, has there been a player in the Dodgers on the Dodgers roster that's been more important than Michael Kopech?
I think, especially on the pitching side and the bullpen side, he has been the missing piece. Listen, anytime you want to win a championship, I always believe you got to have that closer. And I credit our scouts, man. You know, the talent always been there. Listen, I grew up a White Sox fan. You know, I still follow them a little bit. I got buddies in that organization who I think they're going to turn it around. They're going to take some lumps, as you guys see this year. But I think they eventually turn it around. Michael Kopech has always had the ability. And if you go back his last, I think, five or six outings with the White Sox, he started to make changes. You know, he said that he started using a slider more. And when you use a slider more and that slider is effective, that makes his 98 to 100 seem like 102, 103 to the hitter because he doesn't know what he's going to throw. So that fastball jumps on him. So he started to make the changes on his own or maybe with the help of the pitching coach of the White Sox. And the scouts, our scouts, started really noticing that and said, okay, we see him really starting to excel and we can get him over here with our guys and give him a chance and give him opportunities with leads to go out there and perform, either hold the lead in the seventh or eighth inning or close out game. So he has been an integral part of our bullpen. He has fit right in. He works extremely hard. He's just one of those guys that give me the ball, whatever you want me to throw, whether it's the seventh, eighth, or the ninth inning to close it out, I'm going to go out there and do my job. And he has been the perfect fit for our bullpen.
Yeah, I rarely ever do this, but I had ongoing conversations with Rick Hahn for 5 years about him being a closer as opposed to being a starter. And you know, Rick was right. I mean, he had great stuff. They weren't wrong about that. I just said, you know, some guys' attention span is less, okay? If they have less attention span and they have terrific stuff, there's only one place they're going to end up, especially if you're throwing 100 miles an hour, and that is in a bullpen. And, you know, he has done that for the Dodgers. He's a terrific guy. We're all rooting for him. Great success from here in Chicago. Jerry, you have another guy that is in the center hairs of the Chicago White Sox right now, and that is first base coach Clayton McCullough. Can you talk to me a little bit about Clayton McCullough? Because according to the people I talk to, he is up there in the top picks for the White Sox as the next manager of the team.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I mean, Clayton, I've known for, you know, quite some time. He's a tremendously hard worker. He's a baseball rat. You know, we have, you know, basketball term, it's a gym rat. You know, he's that as far as on the baseball field. Always trying to get better, always making sure he's there for the players, whatever they need, whether it's running the bases, defensive assignments. He is always there at the forefront. And he's gotten a chance to learn from a really good manager, Dave Roberts, see how things are run, see how the organizations run. And if he's given that opportunity, you know, to manage, he's going to take what he's learned, and I really believe he's going to go out and apply it and take in those type of skills to the forefront. So Clayton is a tremendous guy, has great respect in that clubhouse. And, you know, if I would hate to see him go because he does such a tremendous job for the Dodgers. But, I mean, that's just the nature of the beast, man. If you get an opportunity to manage, then more times than not, those guys are going to take that job. So I know the White Sox are going to be thorough in their process. I don't know if Grady's still going to get interviewed. I don't know if he still wants the job. Yeah, I know Grady Sizemore a little bit. I hear he's a tremendous guy as well. So I never want to talk bad or talk about a job that is not open. But I guess he was the interim manager. So, but there's going to be a lot of candidates. You know, I'm really good friends with Skip Schumacher. Skip Schumacher is no longer going to be the manager for the Marlins. I think he is incredible. And I think he is going to be one of the best managers in baseball for quite some time.
Part of the criteria is player development. With McCullough, he's had a ton of it with Toronto and the Dodgers, being in the Dodger system and being in charge of the minor leagues for a while. Jerry, how much is that going to factor, do you think, knowing that there's so much player development these days at the major league level?
I think that's key. I think that's the biggest thing that is lost in the game of baseball is you don't stop developing once you get to the big leagues. The biggest jump, you know, I experienced this as a player. My father used to always say, you know, it's easy to get to the big leagues. The hardest thing is to stay in the big leagues. I didn't understand that until I got to the big leagues because there are so many adjustments you have to make in real time. You got to get better. But then as the league is adjusting to you, you got to start to make your adjustments. So the development really doesn't end when you get to the big leagues. It's really just beginning. So In the term of the White Sox, you have to have a guy that understands that. You got to make sure you're continually to train these players, and you're going to get knocked around a little bit, especially as a young player. You got to make sure you're there to help them gain and keep their confidence. Okay, gain that confidence, and you get your butt kicked a little bit. You got to make sure you instill more confidence, and making sure you walk them through the process. And you know, looking at the White Sox, hopefully they get a veteran or two guy on that team that can provide leadership as well. It's not just the manager, it's not just the coaches. You need veteran players too to help along the way with these young guys. So yes, it's imperative to have a manager, the coaching staff be in tune to help the development of these players, but also you got to have players, excuse me, you got to have coaches to help these players in the minor leagues. Everybody needs to be on the same page from A ball, double A, triple A, onto the big leagues. That way, when you have guys come up to the big leagues, it's not foreign to them because they've been doing the exact same thing at double A and triple A. So when they walk through the doors of the big league level, whatever's asked of them at the big league level, they've already done it at double A and triple A. So everybody needs to be in tune and be on the same page.
You mentioned you're a White Sox fan from afar and that you believe in some of the guys, but look, we know the Royals lost 106 games there in the playoffs this year. The White Sox don't have Bobby Witt Jr. walking through that door, and they've lost 222 games the last 2 years. How far away can you be? I mean, I know teams are trying to turn around and build it on the fly, but this thing seems like it's years from that.
Yeah, you know what? It does seem like it's years from that. I looked at the Detroit Tigers recently. I just saw them, you know, beat the Astros. You know, you talk about, you know, I know A.J. Hinch got a lot of heat from the Astros, and rightfully so. But A.J. is a great baseball man. I've known A.J. a long time. I'm really good friends with George Lombard, another guy who should be looked at as a manager. I've known George Lombard for decades. When you have manager coaches in place, and then you have a general manager in the farm system, and you could draft guys, sign guys, and then add a piece or two here or there via a trade, you're a lot closer than you think. I have friends in Detroit. They're shocked how quickly this turned around in Detroit. Okay? But the most important thing is you got to be able to draft well, sign well international guys, and then make the right trades. Look, the Detroit Tigers traded Jack Flaherty to us. We needed Jack Flaherty. But guess what they got in return? They got a starting shortstop in our system. He's now the starting shortstop for the Detroit Tigers, Sweeney, who's absolutely balling right now. Credit the Detroit Tigers scouting department understanding, hey, we can get a young shortstop who could be our everyday guy right now. There's no room for him at the Dodgers organization because we're loaded right now. He can come and play for us, and he's absolutely balling over there. So you've got to be able to have scouts that see that to help in these types of trades, to have guys walk in your building and be able to have an impact. So it's going to take scouts, it's going to take general manager, it's going to take coaching manager, it's going to take the whole unit. Man, I know it's probably the lowest White Sox fans have been in quite some time, but if you do things the right way, it could be a lot quicker than people think. Okay, it could be a lot quicker. So I've always been a guy with hope, especially when you have the right people at the helm that know what they're doing.
All right, real quickly before I let you go, and you've been awesome. We appreciate your time. I know you're a Bears fan. Are you all in on Caleb Williams?
All in. All right. All in, man. I'm all in on Caleb Williams. I met Caleb a couple years ago at Dodger Stadium. Incredible guy. Fascinating guy. Very smart. I was always a Justin Fields fan because he was our quarterback. To this day, I'm still a Justin Fields fan. I root for Justin. I hope he continues to do great in Pittsburgh. I root for him. But I'm a Bears fan. And he's our quarterback, Caleb Williams. So we are all in on Caleb, man. He has been, I think, outstanding. You know, our offensive line, man, we got to make sure we shore up that offensive line to make sure we provide Caleb with some help. And you know, hopefully we beat Carolina this week and then start rolling and really start, hopefully our way to the playoffs. So I'm definitely all in on Caleb.
Well, Jerry Hairston, we appreciate your time. We wish the Dodgers well and all the continued success of what's going on with you out there. Get Michael Kopech a ring, will you?
Well, I want him to get me a ring.
Jerry, thanks, buddy.
All right, anytime, guys.
Take care.
Before Chicago takes on Carolina, tune in tomorrow morning from 9 to noon for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's. Join Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley, plus Lawrence Holmes, who's filling in for Mully. They'll get you set for the game live from Wonderverse in Oakbrook. Then immediately following the game, Lawrence, Olin, and Manley will have instant reaction from Wonderverse on the Great Clips postgame show, presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing. All of it can be heard tomorrow on The Score and on the Odyssey app. Bruce Levine, Ryan McGuffey will back to wrap things up on Inside the Clubhouse next on 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Might be the best baseball day of the year, buried within a college football Saturday. We have four game ones today, Bruce. Four.
So awesome. And we got a minute left. I just want to talk about the alien being Shohei Ohtani.
Finally
from another planet, from a different world, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every year he does something that's never been done before that is looked at pitching and hitting. This year, 50-50 home runs, stolen bases. You know, just an incredible guy. And you never count against him in a short series. He's been tremendously hot. I think he hit 400 in September. So that is, and of course the judge factor with the Yankees. Will they walk him every time they can during this series?
I mean, Kansas City is certainly a long shot to win that series. It might not be a bad plan. I love the Ohtani. I love that the world gets to see Ohtani on the playoff spotlight.
And the Cubs get to see their future star number four hitter in Juan Soto in this series.
Oh, jeez. I'm looking forward to it. 7:30 for that first pitch tonight. Dylan Cease matching up in game one against Shohei Ohtani in the first inning. Give me that. Just inject it into my veins.
Many thanks go out to our guest today, including our producer, Robbie Trianos, did a tremendous job as always, and that Binderman jersey is going to be worth
classic.
A lot more after this next series. We thank Jerry Hairston Jr. from Dodgers Baseball joining us, as well as our buddy John Shambi, who on ESPN will be doing the games on radio with Doug Glanville, the Phillies, and the Mets today. We will see you in 2 weeks. Ryan and I are taking Yom Kippur off next week. And we won't be with you either. Sandy Koufax won't be here either. He'll be taking the day off. But a great football show will be planned with the Bears going to England next week. So we will be back and join you in 2 weeks.
Can't wait, Bruce. This has been fun. As always, Robbie, thanks, man. You make it sound good. All the content we had was certainly...
Steve Rosenblum and his magic next on The Score.